This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 5th, 2023, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
They say, and do not. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If we had like a frequently asked questions section on our website, we may, I don't know. If we did, I could just say that one of the frequently asked questions that I hear often, frequently, always, is how do we do with this current state of affairs that is confusing in the church? Confusion in the church is antithetical to what our God wants for us. One of the first things we heard in Mass today with the psalm that says that it is a beautiful thing for brothers to live together in unity. Unity does not mean smiling at one another and agreeing to disagree and having variant opinions on things. Unity is believing the same thing. Everybody believing the same thing, because what we are supposed to believe is what God has handed down to us, His covenant. This is what we're to believe. Without variation, without our input, but what God says. Well, why is this going on? There's an answer. And it's hard for me to stand up here and say it, because the scriptures speak to it. The fault of clerics, priests, is the reason that there is confusion. If the priests do not consistently and in unity speak what God speaks and has spoken and will ever speak to the church, if they don't do that, confusion reigns. Our God is a God of order. Satan is an inversion. Satan is the small g god of this world, and he is all about disorder. The more disorder, the better. We need to have order in order to get to heaven. This is how God wants things. This is what needs to be proclaimed. And when it's not, it causes confusion. It is not the fault of the laity. It is the fault of the cleric. And it would be easy to say that this would deny the whole unity thing if I could stand up here and go, well, this group of priests or this kind of priests, you know, they're good, but these other group of priests, no, it's not about that. That denies unity. The priesthood is a unity. It is a body of brothers that are called out of the lay faithful to serve the body of Christ. And they should all be on the same sheet of music. All bishops should be on the same sheet of music. But they're not. I mean, even if you don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on in the church, you know that, you see that, you hear about things like that. It is the priesthood, generally speaking. There are good ones and there are bad ones, and God always calls the bad ones to task, because it doesn't take a whole lot of bad ones to start fomenting confusion. The first read today, Old Testament, Malachi. Our God, hey, you people of God, you're all messed up. You're not faithful. You're doing not. No. Speaking through the prophet, to you priests that despise my name. And now God even interjects this rhetorical, how have we despised your name? We don't, because they can't say it outright. They won't say it. And sometimes through ignorance, they don't even know they're despising his name. But they do despise his name because why? Because you are not doing what I said. You're not offering the sacrifices that I demand. You know, back in that day, it was animals, right? If it was a goat, you had to take the best goat that you had, the best one of the flock, and bring it to be sacrificed. And in that day, a lot of the priests, they would get the best goats. They'd be like, oh, that's an awesome goat. Yeah, I'll put that one in my herd and give something lesser to God. God points that out. You offer unsatisfactory sacrifices. You offer lame sacrifices. Is that not evil? As soon as we start doing or mitigating what God wants us to do, when it goes from bring your best to come as you are, that's evil. It's evil. It's not the laity's fault. Priests are not pointing things out. They're not saying, God says you should do this. You know, God does say you should bring your best. When you come to worship, you should come in reverence, in awe, in silence, and presenting yourself the best you can. Not dressed like you're going to Publix. And if priests don't say anything to people about that, it just continues. And heck, if he's not going to say anything about it, I'm going to chill too in my t-shirt and shorts. If he says, come as you are. God doesn't care. And confusion. Corruption. God says, you have departed from my way and have caused many to stumble. It's the priest's fault that the people stumble. Therefore, I will make you contemptible and base before all people. This is coming from a guy who walks around in a collar at restaurants and out, you know, when I'm going around thinking, and you can tell. Is there a chip on the shoulder? Yeah, maybe. Is there a little bit of a paranoia going on? You walk around like that? Yeah, it is. But you can tell. It's like, you know, ooh, Catholic priest. Then the jokes. Contemptible in the sight of all people. Not just Catholics. Of all people. Contemptible. This is how God starts. When you start to mess around, the first thing I'm going to do, you know, the confusion is obvious to everybody. The first, I'm going to make you contemptible in the sight of all people. This is what God does. This is how he works. Oh, that's the Old Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel today. Being God, you know, if God called the priests of the Old Testament to task, Jesus Christ is going to do the same thing, being God, the same yesterday, today, forever, being one with the Father. He's going to do the same thing. And he does it in the gospel today. It, I always say, got to look at context in the gospel. What is the context here when Jesus says what he says? Right before his passion. Right before his earthly ministry is winding up. He said and done everything that he can. And now it's time for him to break his body and shed his blood for us. But before he does it, up to this time, for 3 years, he has been trying to persuade the religious leaders of his day. The religious leaders, you know, those in authority. He's been trying to get them to square themselves away. And he's trying to be subtle and tactful about the whole thing. Trying not to embarrass them any more than needed. He does parables. Oh yeah, you know, it's like this and it's like that and it's like that. But woe to the man, it's like that. So if anybody around here would be like that, you might want to be careful. He tries to be subtle about it. Not to mention every time they try to trip him up, it's like, hey, ask him this question. If he answers this way, we'll jack him up. And if he answers this way, he'll be wrong too. So ask him. And Jesus answers in a way that they didn't even conceive. And every time they walk around like, what's really interesting, every time that happens, there's people around too. So the people are starting to pay attention. They're like, come on, Pharisees, argue with it. You know, you just said that. Why don't you say that? They just kind of scratch their heads and just kind of go, I'm not going to answer you. You know, like when Jesus asked them, John's baptism, from whence did it come? Heaven or men? If we say that, you know, he's doing the same thing to us that we do to him. If we say this, they're going to get mad at us. If we say that, they're going to get mad at us. We don't know. We're just not going to answer. There's nothing new under the sun. in our day, there have been statements made, and some solid leaders in the church have said, hey, that statement is not in conformity with what the church has always taught. Could you please clarify? Well, if there was clarification made, guess what would happen? It would be, I'll be wrong. So what happens? Nothing. There is no response. I don't have to respond. I'm just not going to say. It always happens. This is where we get confusion. Our Lord Jesus, you know, like I say, he confused them at every turn. Not to mention the fact that, you know, you think, okay, this guy that's talking all this stuff and everything like that, how many times, by what authority do you do this? You know, it's really kind of obvious because he does things like walk on water and raise dead people. And little things like that, that only God can do. This is what Jesus got going on. And he still can't persuade them. He's tried to be subtle and tactful. And now he's reached a point where, of necessity, and it's weird too, because the way he does it, it's very public. It is not even a matter of going, okay, Pharisees, I'm talking to you. You are all messed up. You need to straighten up, fly right. He's like, because why? It would be pointless. Everything he's done up to this point is pointless. They're not stupid. They know he's talking to even one of the parables after, I think he's talking about us. Duh. You know, it's very obvious, even every people standing around, that he's talking about them. They don't get it. So what does he do? He reaches a point where what does it say? Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples. The Pharisees are standing right there. And Jesus turns to his disciples and the people that are around him and say, the scribes and the Pharisees have sit on the chair of Moses. What's that got to do with it? He's putting the people on notice. What I'm about to say in no way, shape, or form is for you to start despising the authority of the priesthood. Because it doesn't matter who's there, the authority is still established by God, and he has called men to fill that position. If they are individually messed up, or even collectively messed up at any given time in history, you still do not have license to despise their authority. You do not have license to not be obedient before God of your responsibilities to him through his established authorities. I hear the stories all the time. I read the stories all the time about this person who left the church because of the priest scandal. I'm not going back because of the priest scandal. That's a grave sin. You're in mortal sin because you don't go to Mass anymore. You cannot use their badness to, this is what our Lord Jesus said. You need to respect the authority of the office. It's not a priest. It's not bad priest. It's the priesthood. It's like the papacy. It's the papacy. We have a feast day, the chair of St. Peter. We don't have Pope Day, okay? Because it's the papacy. It's not any individual. We have had saintly, magnificent popes and not so much. And that doesn't mean, well, a not so much is there. We can do what we want. We don't have to pay attention to what he said. Because, you know, it doesn't matter who they are. The one that everybody loves to bash is Alexander VI. The guy was a reprobate, morally speaking. You know, absolute reprobate. I mean, he had girlfriends and kids running around St. Peter's. It was horrible. But from a theological standpoint, he wasn't all that messed up. He was Catholic. He was a reprobate, but he's still a Catholic. I was actually doing some research the other day. And I was reading something. Yeah, it was a citation of an encyclical. And I was like, Alexander VI? Man, sometimes they don't even use his pope name. He was so bad. And all this being said, he was supposedly did make a heartfelt confession on his deathbed. I hope so. But you don't look at the papers and say, I'm not going to do what the pope says because he got girlfriends and kids running around St. Peter's. You don't do that. He's the pope. He's a hot mess, but he's the pope. You can't despise the church. I'm not going to be a Catholic anymore because Alexander VI is a pope. No, it doesn't work like that. This is what Jesus is saying. They sit on the chair. Do what they say. Do what they say, not what they do. Do what they say because It doesn't matter how bad they may be. Again, like I was saying about before, when you're asked a question and you don't answer, that's indicative. Why is that? Because I can't say that. Because they know they hold a position where they have to say what the church has always taught. Everything that goes against it is kind of worked in very subtly. It's worked in surreptitiously. Can't really see it coming. Or, I'm not going to answer that question. He's going to let that ride for it and let people make their own determination. That's confusion. The papacy is it's the anchor point for the church. It's actually a ministry of no. Hey, can we do this? No. Can we do this? No. No. Just keep doing what you're... No. And someone will come up occasionally was like, what about this? Let's think about that. And generally the answer is no. It is. It's an anchor point. It shouldn't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. It doesn't matter what the world accepts. It doesn't matter what science says. Those things are great and to take into consideration, but if it does not conform with God's revelation, it's wrong. It's just wrong. And this is what Jesus is pointing out. Because again, they won't generally be so bold as to come right out and say, just sit, some priests do, yeah, this sin that you St. Paul says is a sin. I mean, there are priests that go so far as to say, St. Paul was wrong on that. He was wrong. Can you imagine that? A simple priest saying St. Paul was wrong about something? How bold. Now, why he still got a collar on is beyond me. Because it would be like, I wouldn't administer the guy communion. You come in with all your priest stuff on and everything like that. You're a priest of Satan. That's what it is. You're antithetical to what God says. God says this is opposite. You're saying God's servant Paul is wrong. That's where this has gone. You know, how much more confusing can it get? Do what they say. The most roguish priest on the face of this planet, he got up in a pulpit, looking all sloppy with his polyester on and everything, all that kind of stuff, and smelling bad. And I know he does this on his days off, and I know he does this, and you know, all this kind of stuff. When he gets up here and says, thou shalt not steal, guess what? You better not steal. Because what is he doing? He's repeating what God says. This, I got the simplest job in the world. All priests have the simplest job in the world. Say what God said. Present the deposit of the faith to the people. This morning, first Sunday of every month, what do we hear at the beginning of Mass? The Ten Commandments. Let your memories wander as to from whence you came, the parish or parishes that you might have been in. How often did you hear the Ten Commandments read? Never, probably. They're the Ten Commandments. This is the grid, man. These are the biggies, the Ten Commandments. And nobody ever hears them. How can you not be a priest and tell people the Ten Commandments? Not talk about them, not paraphrase them, read them. It's like God wrote them on stone with his own finger. He thinks it's pretty important. Our Lord Jesus, I have not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. You better know it. How can you? You say you love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, all of them, not the palatable kind. I mean, the summary of the law is good. I mean, Jesus gives us that, and it's good. That's what we hear most. It's fine. But every now and then, you ought to hear the Ten Commandments regularly, because that's what God said. So this is what priests should do, and it's a simple task. It is. It's really, really simple. But what happens? All of a sudden, people start doing what they want to do. This is why Jesus goes on to do what they say, but according to their works, do not. I mean, we're confronted daily, if you pay attention, which you should. Hold that thought for a second. If we're paying attention to our faith, you should be paying attention to things that are, a possibility because of some current events going on. And, if they would do this, that would be a contradiction to what Scripture says. So you can't do that. It doesn't matter who tells you. No one is in a position they can authorize you to not do what God says. No one. It doesn't matter what color their cassock is. It doesn't matter how much fawning over them people do and how many times they're on the news. It doesn't make any difference. They cannot tell you to do something that God, they can't tell you to do something God prohibits or prohibit you from doing something God tells you you can do. You can't do it. I think probably a prime example that everybody can kind of get is Vatican II. In Vatican II, there's 14 primary documents of the Second Vatican Council. And if you read them, it's like, it's nothing new. It's basically just a rehash of what the church has always taught. So it's good overall. I mean, there are a couple of places in there you go, that's kind of, but if you interpret it this way, it's okay. If you interpret it, it's problematic, but nonetheless. But as far as the 14, what the Second Vatican Council says is great. Just church teaching. Fine. But what happened after the council, it wasn't about what the Vatican II documents said. It was about the spirit of Vatican II that had nothing to do with the documents. I love looking at people like when they leave here, I know that's kind of nice, but it's kind of rigid. And I like kind of the Vatican II. I say, if you read the Vatican II documents, this is exactly what you would see in every church on the face of this planet. Like the Second Vatican Council II documents say little things like Latin, not may, Latin will be used in the rites of the Western Church. Parts of the Mass will be said in Latin. Again, let your mind wander. When the last time you heard, he does a song every now and then. Talk about the canon, we'll talk about Lord's Prayer, talk about the last gospel, things like that, big parts that are in Latin. It will be used. That's what the Second Vatican Council documents say. Gregorian chant takes pride of place in church music. Gregorian chants isn't an easy thing to do. But when the Second Vatican Council documents say Gregorian chant should take precedence, should take first place, you should be hearing some of it every now and then. I'm just saying, that's what but the spirit, you don't hear Latin, you got priests facing the people. That's Vatican II. Vatican II documents don't say one thing about that. Vatican II documents don't say one thing, even allude to communion in the hand. None of that. Now that's a bold-faced lie. This is what they say. Not what Jesus in a nutshell is saying, follow sound doctrine, not other people's doctrine, my doctrine, and ignore bad examples. Ignore bad examples. This is our Lord's message. What does this have to do with me? I'm not a preacher. You're one of God's people. You're a part of the body of Christ. This is why he established the church. Everybody likes that whole, we're all part of the body of Christ. Yeah, you are, and you got to act like it. And one part of the body doesn't let another part of the body be messed up and not address it in some way, shape, or form. This is our responsibility as Catholics, is to keep our eyes. This is why I said, hold the thought about, well, what do I do? How do I know what you... That's just it. You need to know. You need to know. You need to know Scripture. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You should know generally what your catechism teaches. And when you hear something weird, like, the ordination of women. It's like, that's not a thing ever anywhere in the history of the church, the deposit of faith. Why are we talking about that? It's saintly popes, John Paul II. It's done. We're done. Let us move on. It's closed. The issue is not there. Oh, no, let's talk about it some more. Let's have a synod about it. Do what they say, not what they do. Because as soon as they start doing something, you can ignore it if it's not in conformity with God's will. It does, like I said before, it doesn't matter what the position of somebody. They do not have license to change God's doctrine. It's his covenant with us. Covenant's a contract. It's a contract. God is the one who, here's my contract. I've signed it in the blood of my son. Now you sign it. Think of it in earthly terms. Okay, I really want to live in that house. I'm going to rent it. Hey, landlord, I want to live in your house. Okay, $2,000 a month. Okay, sign the paper. And then you get home. Oh, man, that's really going to shoot my budget. I'm going to change that to $200 a month. Enjoy the streets. That landlord is going to kick you right out of that place. Hey, who do you think you're going to write to $200? Change my contract. Ain't going to happen. It's my contract. I'm the landlord. Same thing. Who do you change? I always like when people say, oh, but they have the keys to the... Yeah, they do. You lend your keys to the house to somebody to watch it while you're on vacation. You come home and it's painted and they've knocked out walls and changed it. You're probably going to be upset. Yeah, I gave you the keys to watch out for it, to maintain it like it is, not to change it. That house was supposed to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what we're dealing with here. It doesn't matter what position you're in. You can't change the contract. Because it really boils down to, you know, and this is how you tell. You might not know a bunch about Scripture. You might not. It's about a matter of love. It really is. You could tell when you go someplace, because any cleric should be acting like he loves God, first and foremost. That he loves God. It doesn't matter what the rite may be. It doesn't matter how he may be facing it. But if he is doing everything very reverently, like Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is in front of his face, that's good. That's good. Like I said, it doesn't matter what rite or anything. You can tell. I went to a Novus Ordo Mass one time at St. Joseph's. Call the name. This was like 12 years ago. There was an African priest to the Novus Ordo Mass, straight up. He didn't do anything like, oh, I'm going to show you how traditional I am. He just said it over. I could hardly understand the man. His accent was so thick. That was 12 years ago, and it stands out in my mind as I was like dumbfounded. That dude, he loves Jesus. That guy loves Christ. You could just tell. It was exuded from him. And it was, he didn't do a Lent Mass or anything, you know, just move around and stand on this side of the altar. None of that. You just tell he loved Jesus. This is what you want. And if you really love God, you won't change what he said to appeal to other people. You go in and the priest is reverent in a celebration of Mass. He's paying attention and acting like God's there as opposed to, you know, what joke can I tell next to get the next laugh or tell vacation stories, you know, and all this stuff or show a video of the bishop's appeal. It shows where is your priority? Who do you love? It doesn't matter. Well, they're a bishop. It doesn't matter. Like I said before, there are good ones and bad ones. St. Paul, a bishop. And that's what the apostles were. You know, bishops are the successors of the apostles. St. Paul, a bishop. In the second reading today, I treated you as a nurse cherishing her children. That's a good bishop. And a bishop's approaching things like that. He loves God, and he loves God first and foremost. So if he loves God, he is going to, by necessity, love God's children and act like it. I didn't take anything from you. I could have said, hey, pay me this much, pay me, give me that. No, I worked with my own hands because I wanted to preach the gospel of God to you. That's a good bishop. You got other bishops? Not so much. Judas Iscariot? He's a bishop. He's an apostle. And he's in the deepest place in hell right now. They're both bishops. I would put my eggs in one basket and not in the other. I'm just saying. So it doesn't matter who, you know, just because somebody's got a title. You have to have a foundation of your faith. You have to understand when you hear somebody, that just doesn't sound right. Like I say, don't have to be a Bible scholar. Everybody's got a phone. Text me. Text somebody who might know. Yeah, you know, where's this in the Bible? Or is this okay? No, it's not okay. I throw those out a lot. No, that's not okay. You can hear, Father can say all kinds of things. Every day. What did I get this morning? Father told people that it's okay to cohabitate. Can you believe that? Believe that one. A priest told somebody he's good. A few weeks ago, I go, yeah, I went to talk to a priest. And he said, yeah, you know, you get a divorce. Oh! But they're priests. Why do we have confusion? This stuff is real. If this is our Lord putting us on notice. You got to address it. And I'm not talking about confronting, but you got to address it by, if I go into this church and it's, you know, he's up there with the clown suit on or doing the Batman spraying the people with holy water and the with the squirt gun. All these things are real. I've seen pictures of this nonsense. You go to a place where that happens, you need to leave. You need to leave. You need to find somewhere where they love God. And it's very obvious. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.